Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to be with you. This morning, it is a great day in the South. I guess I maybe shouldn't say that because I think it's still snowing in the North. But hey, the sun is out. It'll be in the high 70s today. And you know, all of the birds and little critters are out and they're chirping away and jumping around. And I'm just waiting for the lizards to start. You know, that population of lizards, it's just so thrilling. Can't even open your windows because the lizards want to come in and just enjoy your life with you. But today, we're going to be talking about love and relationships. You know, don't you wish we were like the critters and the birds? It seems so much easier, you know? You're there, you just exist, and you move on to the next realm, whatever it is. It's so complicated to be a person these days. It's so complicated to be in a relationship. You know, there was the years of the we, and then there was years of the I, and then there was years of the me, whatever that all meant. But, you know, those were the decades when we all thought we knew the answers and everything was going to be hunky-dory. Well, some of us now are in our almost 60s, but then the 20s, they think they have it all made, you know, all of this hooking up and all this other stuff. They have no clue where they're headed. So are we in our 60s maybe supposed to share our wisdom with these younger people and say, maybe not, maybe you should wake up? Or do we just sit back and say, these are all just generational changes? And where is the human race even going? I mean, what is love and what is the relationship? And who's even finding that anymore? You know, it's such a race, a rat race and a game. Everybody's just looking to be in the game. Today, my guest is Bruce Starr. He is a professional speaker and presenter, one-on-one relationship coach, a television and radio talk show host for 20 years, and he's working on a relationship pilot for national cable networks called Everything But Love. His book we'll be talking about today is called Body Traders, Transforming Back from Player to Lover. You know, this is a topic we have not covered on this show, but I'm sure everybody will be more than happy to get into the conversation and have some tips from Bruce because, you know, I'll tell you, it is pretty hard to be able to have a relationship when you're supposed to be having this awareness. You're supposed to be awakening and, you know, take care of yourself syndrome. Everybody's walking around taking care of themselves, and what are they doing in a relationship, and how does that work? So, Bruce, thank you so much for being with us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Dr. Jeanette, it's great to be here with you, and I really look forward to investigating a lot of those questions that you asked in the last few minutes. I think every single one of them is challenging. Every single thing that you brought up is true. And I love the idea of you asking, can we, who've been here longer, can we help younger people from making some drastic mistakes? All really good points you bring up.
You know, I find that, and like I said in the beginning, I really wish we were almost like the critters outside. Doesn't it seem so easy? Why do we have people have to be making life so frigging complicated, you know? I mean, we have to look at how we can manipulate the pieces on the game, you know, but also then we have to look further. Can we manipulate the pieces and the game plan itself? You know, it's such a difficult realm to be in when you really don't know what cards each other's holding, don't you think?
Yes, and I'm going to change my word from difficult to challenging because I've gone through too many years of difficulty, and when I learned to change that kind of position, because difficulties, I was the number one victim. Boy, I used to be a, why don't I have this, and why don't I have that, and why aren't I here, and why does everybody else have this, and why don't I used to go on and on and on, and where did I get myself? How did that sound from your point of view?
Right.
It doesn't sound good at all. It just, you just seem trapped in a vicious cycle, and so in the last few years, I've really been able to take more and more advantage of all the different philosophies on life that I've studied. I mean, I've worked, Marianne Williamson was my teacher when I studied the Course in Miracles before she got, you know, really big and you know, huge the way she is now, and rightfully so. She's a brilliant woman. I work with Dr. Pat Allen. I used to sit in her movie theaters where she used to speak in Los Angeles, California. Every Monday night for years and years, Dr. Pat Allen is the little old lady who is invited on to the Millionaire Matchmaker by Patty Stanger. When tough times are really tough and she really can't handle one of her millionaires, she would invite Dr. Pat Allen to give it a go. She is a brilliant, brilliant woman who, imagine having a movie theater full of TV producers, actors, actresses, agents who were so frustrated with life because they were those things and were absolutely miserable in relationships. And they used to sit in that movie theater and listen to this little old lady tell them that everything that they were doing is basically destructive and wasn't going to bring them love. And I learned so much from people like that. I am absolutely invigorated by challenges. And when I see things going on now with the younger generation, I know I can help them. I put together something called Body Traders Academy. And Body Traders Academy comes from my book, Body Traders, Transforming Back from Player to Lover. I think about 80% of the single people out there have had their hearts broken, left their hearts behind, and are choosing the intellect in how they proceed in relationships. They think about what would be the best deal for them, and they leave their hearts far behind. This is the biggest problem that people are having right now, and I see it, I know it, and because I've been on both sides for so long, I was a single person for years and years, and I'm now married for 10 years. We adopted a beautiful 10-year-old girl. I've been on both sides, and I know why both sides work and don't work all at the same time.
You know, we can always talk about the younger ones and say, you know, there's definitely a challenge there, which we see. But I also look at it, too. There's a lot of the elder people who are, let's say, in their 50s and 60s on up, and they have issues, too, because if you look at it, you know, I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and it was all about, you know, the hippie stuff, but you had to set that aside because there was the race to the job. There was the race to the top, and that was the way you were going to go. So people that may have married then or had relationships then did it for very specific reasons in the 60s and 70s. While some may have figured out love then, I think the ratio is probably very small. But I'm sure you could say that differently. I'm not sure. But also you look at now, they're saying in their 50s and 60s, well, you know what? I didn't have it all love all along. I didn't have it figured out. I didn't get what I really, really was looking for in life. And now, hey, kick the other person to the curb and I'm going to go find it. So really, I think our whole life, it doesn't matter where we are in the paradigm. It's just that is our search, is to find that love. And how to be able to find it will depend on which type game we are in, which decade we're living in.
You're absolutely right. And we were completely at the whim of our parents when we were in our 20s many times. How about this message that I know so many people heard? How about a woman who said, if you know, you make yourself as pretty as you can, and you'll be able to attract a doctor. Well, how did that work for so many people? Because doctors, the very interesting thing about doctors, hopefully there's a lot of wonderful doctors out there, but how did doctors get to be doctors? They studied like heck in high school and college because it's the only way you'll make it. And then you study all the way into your advanced classes and medical school, hardly spending any time at all on learning about relationships. No time at all, as a matter of fact. And so many of our parents chose to tell us, if you're really pretty, if you really wait, you'll find yourself a nice doctor. Well,
yeah.
I think people found that when they waited for that nice doctor and they chose to get married to a doctor, because he knew nothing about relationships and only about being a doctor, many of those people who bought that ticket suffering because they don't have two people that are in love with each other. Again, they can be in love with each other many times. It's because people have gotten on a path, just like you said, about being the best they can at their job, being the best salesman, being the best doctor. And they spent so little time on what it takes to be in a loving, kind relationship. And just like you're saying, Dr. Jeanette, now they're finding themselves in their 50s and their 60s, alone
right.
and lonely, and wondering what they did wrong. And that's what my Body
yeah.
Traders Academy is really all about, because they finally realize that they don't want to be 50, 60, 70 and alone and lonely. They really do want to be have love in their lives, but have no clue how to go about finding it.
Yeah, and I, you know, I've had this incident, you know, when patients would come to me, elders, and they're, you know, going out dating and everything again, I said, you know, there's really a lot of life that you need to look at, because dating now is so much more dangerous if you're in your 50s and 60s than it was when you were in your 20s. I mean, AIDS is very prominent in the elder population. It's just not publicized, you know. All of this promiscuity, hey, if somebody's some of these guys are in their 70s and 80s, they're thinking, I'm just going to play the game and keep playing the game I've always been playing. You know, they make the runs of the nursing homes and the assisted livings. I will never forget, my husband had come home, I think it was about a month ago, and he said, man, I really hate going to that assisted living place, because you see these guys coming out of one woman's room and going into another all the time. And the women will tell you that they don't have any choice, because that is where they have to be, because they have to live there, and it's almost like, you know, sexual abuse. So I really think people need to start getting a handle on and stop the games, because the games are going to be the detriment of the human race. I mean, eventually, if you just keep start, because, you know, people are just aren't going to be able to live in that frequency of abuse or people coming around or these game players. You know, people are going to be fed up eventually, I think. And there'll probably be a few more decades, but I think it's starting to occur where people are just not tolerating game people. Don't you think?
Well, you know, that's a really tough question that you ask, because there are so many different levels of desperation. And
yeah.
when you're desperate, you will allow things into your life that you would never dream that you would do. And where does desperation, that's the question, where does desperation come from? Desperation comes from living a life that you know is not really right for you. It's living a life where you did not pursue your own spiritual development, where you didn't treat as very important self-love and self-confidence. So what happens when you don't have self-love and self-confidence? You're constantly looking for somebody else to fill those needs for you. And that's where the problem is. See, people
right.
that love themselves would never put themselves through what you described at the old age home. They would find
right.
something else, or they would find nothing. They would be fine on their own, or they would find other like-minded people. If they had self-confidence in themselves and if they love themselves, they would wait to find someone. But if you are so fearful and so consumed that, oh my God, I'm alone, oh my God, I'm alone, I'll take anyone, anywhere, which a lot of people from our generation are like that,
mm-hmm.
then that's where the trouble is. If you never bothered to learn what it takes to grow spiritually, to love yourself and to have self-confidence, then you're gonna be open to anything, or especially what anybody says if they say the things that make you feel good for a few minutes, you're going to want them in your world. It's an awful thing that many people went right through life without learning about spiritual growth and development and without finding that place where they really had a self-love for themselves.
And so many people, too, they keep going and going, and they aren't really sure how to find that. I know a lot of people are looking back on the past, too. We could talk about exes, you know. I always love this one. When someone's out dating, they say, oh, but my ex did this, and oh, my ex did that, and, you know, or they're always fantasizing and, I guess, I forget the word, but they're making that ex look like the God in the sky glorified. Well, heck, if you left him for some reason, there had to be some reason, right? But there was something that wasn't working. But when you don't have anything, you always look back and think it's the pie in the sky. So, you know, let's talk about, you know, your book. What does the word body traitors even mean to you?
Yes, there is no word in the dictionary. And here's how that all came about. In 1993, a TV producer friend of mine, as a matter of fact, who produced The Love Boat and Love Connection, I went to visit him. I've been in and out of Los Angeles a few times for years and years trying to find my way there, and it just didn't work, maybe because I needed to be doing something else like this relationship work. And he told me about something called America Online. I said, what is that? And he turns his computer on. He shows me, he says, if you open up a room on America Online, and there was only 200,000 people on America Online at the time, he says, you could be sharing what you know with people from all around the country. And you know what? I did it. I went home, and I did it. And over the next 10-year period of time, I actually had over 6,000 intimate, detailed, documented conversations with people from around the world, and I did it to help them. And I did help a lot of people. But what amazed me was after listening to thousands of people's stories and their conversations, I started realizing something. Why we're so unhappy. And why we're so unhappy is many of us got our hearts broken when we were younger. And if someone broke our hearts, especially men, if someone broke a man's heart, there's a very good chance that they may never recover. Now, I know women are saying, hey, we've never recovered either. But women, you have a little bit more of a chance to talk to your mother, your sister, your cousin, your girlfriend about it. But have you ever heard of Vinny and Frank going to the gym and saying, hey, Vinny, my girlfriend broke my heart. She said I was a brute. And I was lousy in bed, and she doesn't love me anymore, and I'm feeling so vulnerable. Is that going to happen? No. So guys are really, women, when you think men are kind of retarded in a way in relationships, we are. So give us a little bit of slack, because we are having a tough time, and there's reasons, more reasons why we're having a tough time that I promise I'll get to a little bit later. But here we are. Our hearts are broken. And to remain social, to keep on dating, to get our sex, we say, well, I've got to get out there, and I'm going to do it in such a way that I'm not going to fall in love. I'm going to pick someone that I'm not going to fall in love with, and I'm going to tuck my heart away, and I'm going to think about how I can get by having sex and being social and looking good in the world. Well, so they start thinking about relationships, and the men stereotypically now would say, I'm going to find someone who looks sexy, who has the great bees, butts, boobs, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm if I work hard and make a lot of money, I'll be able to find someone who will have me. A woman is saying to herself, if I look sexy enough, if I do my thing with my boobs and my lips and all that stuff, and I'm going to find someone, if they have enough money, I'm going to give them what I have, that they'll give me what they have, which is more like horse trading than anything else. Has nothing to do with love. There's no love there. It's all about intellectual deal making. I'll give you what I have if you have enough of what I want. And I came up with the name body trading from that. I'll trade my body if you give me what you have. And that's where that title came from.
And, you know, I see a lot of people, too, they'll sit down and, you know, the New Age thing. Oh, well, like, make a list of the qualifications you'd like in someone or the things that you'd like to see and all that. And, you know, that can get so misconstrued. I almost feel like this process of finding love is like when you got a train of 10 girls and you set a secret in the beginning and you get to the end and it's nowhere like it used to be, you know? So we can misconstrue all of these different ideas and ways and how you get things and what the word even means to something that's totally unrecognizable. You know, if you're sitting down and you write, you know, at the top of the list is stability that equals money, you know, or place and position equals success or a job, you know. How many times do you hear women always say, guys got to have a job, got to have a job, you know, and it's like, oh, Lord, have mercy, you know? I mean, are you saying how many zeros he has to have and how far away from your house he has to work and should he be home by 5 o'clock? And they put so much emphasis on all that other stuff that they can't – that is such a thick blinder. They cannot see anything else. They're looking at people when they go out to places. Okay, does he look like what? How much do you think his watch cost? Well, maybe he got it on eBay, you know. You know, it's crazy how they've set up that game.
You know, Dr. Jeanette, when you and I were growing up, one of the things that we probably loved the most, either about our parents or our friends' parents, was that they came together because they liked each other. They came together hopefully because they loved each other. They enjoyed each other. And they came together and had kids. And what we respected the very most about them is that they worked together to make a life for themselves. One of them didn't say, hey, go out there and make a life for me and do it right now. Or, you know, get into bed right now and be that sexual whore that I, you know. That's what it sounds like to me now. But when we were growing up, made for love, and again, I'm not talking about wild and passionate romantic love. Love can come in many, many shapes and forms. And you started bringing up love these days. People have really done some nasty, nasties to the word love where people have no clue about it. They have no understanding about it. And they even think it's a really bad word because it hurts so much. Love doesn't hurt. All the other things associated with love, like hooking up, they call that, you know, if they even call that love, or, you know, jumping each other's bones, thinking, oh, I'm in love, you know, they're the ones that are ruining it for themselves. So there are a lot of challenges now, a lot of misinformation out there now that needs to be put together. And again, I bring up my Body Traders Academy. I'd really like to let people know how they can find out a little bit more about it. Because what the reason I even put it together was people saying people have no clue. They're so lost. They don't know anything about any way to get themselves into a place where they can feel love again. So I'm doing a Body Traders Academy. And you can find out more about it at bodytraders.com. And please send me an email at info@bodytraders.com. And anybody that contacts me, you know, I do a lot of one-on-one work. And for your listeners only, the people that are listening to this show, because they tuned in because they were interested in relationships, I would be glad, and honestly would be glad to work with anyone absolutely free on a one-on-one basis for 15 minutes if they will contact me at info@bodytraders.com and say you heard me on the radio show and you'd like to do a free 15-minute one-on-one relationship coaching session.
You know, thank you for that, and I will say it again at the end of the show, too. You know what? I think, though, do you think maybe we have done ourselves an injustice? Because, you know, in the 50s and 60s, all of these concepts weren't around. In other words, I think the more that we began to learn how we can manipulate ourselves, the more we learned how we can manipulate others And maybe it's a generational thing, and it's getting worse as we go farther on. And no one ever learned the concept of love, just like they don't learn the concept of manners, just like they don't learn the concept of taking care of healthy themselves, or just like they don't learn the concept of respect for others or empathy and compassion. I think maybe we need to get back to those words versus all of this other stuff around that has really put us in a tizzy.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. I've studied this quite a bit, and let me bring this up, Dr. Jeanette. When we were in our, young and in our 10, 15, 20 years old, we noticed how horrified the people were that were 70 and 80 years old because they thought we were so rude and they thought we were so insensitive. And
right.
That should tell us right there that people were a lot kinder, a lot more sensitive to each other, a lot more sensitive to each other. And just like you said, every single generation, it's gotten colder and colder.
Yeah.
I mean, the people, you and I hopefully went home to a mother after we were in school, and mother was there. She gave us a sandwich. She gave us some hot chocolate, a loving warm person who cared about us was there. But then something happened after our generation. Both parents had to go to work, and there was no mother at home. And the kids came home, and they became what they call them, latchkey kids.
Mm-hmm.
And these latchkey kids didn't get the love that we got. They're the ones that are running companies now.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are CEOs of corporations. And that's, I believe, why they're so easily able to fire people, because they didn't have that same heartfelt love. They didn't grow up with that love for one another as we did. And you're seeing a whole generation of millions and millions of jobs, people fired from their jobs. The people who were doing the firing couldn't care less about the millions of people that they're hurting. All they wanted to know about was the bottom line for the corporation. The corporation has to make this much money, and I don't care how many people I have to fire, what kind of misery I cause, because it's all about the bottom line. How awful and terrible is that?
And I think you take it one step further, then came the evolution of an easy divorce. I think that was probably the biggest downfall of civilization there ever was. I mean, that you could just, quote, walk out if you're unhappy. And, I can remember generations before us where if you were unhappy, hey, you slammed the door, you broke a few glasses and you said, hey, I'm going to have to figure it out because you had nowhere else to go. You know, it wasn't like you could hop a plane and go far away, or it wasn't like you could hop in your car and never come back. You generally had to stay because you were in that area, you knew your area, and that's what you did. You had to make it work. These easy outs now are so, there's an easy out in everything anymore. I mean, no matter what, you could just turn on a dime, Hey, click your intention and you're out of there. Click your, click your car, you're gone. And there's no reason to stay. Love has to be a reason to stay, but how do you promote love to be a reason to stay?
Dr. Jeanette, imagine what's going on right now with all of the online internet dating services, which I think are great in general. They are wonderful. People are meeting each other. But of course, our addictive cold personalities have run amok with it, and they have so many choices now. People have so many choices. They go one day to another. Oh, this one has a hangnail. Oh, I'm going to one day to another. This one has her ears are too big. I'm going on to the next one. And imagine what a whole generation of people, how they're living their lives, just going discounting one person after another, getting rid of one person because they weren't good enough for them in some way. And those are all reflections about our own lack of self-esteem, about our own lack of caring. about our own lack of spiritual growth and development. Because you know what? What does spiritual growth mean? Spiritual growth means, in a nutshell, that you are a very important person, but everyone else is equally as important and all coming from the same source. Spirituality means I'm important, but so are you. I'm not going to hurt you because I know in some way it hurts me. That's the attitude that people have to understand, that now they're so detached. If they hurt someone, they don't think anything of it. But in actuality, I believe in something called the pie theory. When we were young and we fell in love, we came offering a full pie. We were there with that full pie. Here's my full pie. But as you got your heart broken, and as you had more and more disappointing relationships, that pie got eaten up until now people are offering an empty aluminum tray with no pie at all, expecting still the next person to come along and be the person who's going to save them from all their misery. We have work to do, and that's why I put together Body Traders Academy. It's not too late. This Body Traders Academy is for people in their 20s to people in their 80s. It's not too late to learn how spiritual growth and development can fill you. And when we can stop waiting for other people to fill us because they're going to disappoint us, that's the key to our own inner happiness.
And, you know, I think a lot of people, too, these days, granted there was a lot of drugs and booze, you know, in the 60s and 70s, but I think now that game has grown into pharmaceuticals and has grown into, you know, levels of abuse of yourself so that you're not even being present in being who you are. So sometimes I know a lot of friends would say to me, you know, dating is really miserable because, hey, you don't even know what drug the guy took today, you know, or the woman. And I think probably if you had a room of 100 people, just random people, not there for a specific purpose, you could look around and say how many people are on a mind-altering or heart-altering or body-altering medication that you really, it's like, do I really want to go there? Because I don't even know what I'm getting. It's something that's already been altered, and it's not even the real person. So how does that all fit into you when you work with people? Because that is a huge deal. I mean, I know after Hurricane Katrina here in the South, I mean, hey, PTSD was rampant. You know, people were on antidepressants forever and a million years, and I can tell you they probably still are, just because they didn't get off them. And then tag along the booze and the hot weather and economic losses and blah, 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 blah. People are struggling, you know? And, you know, there's a lot of things that shouldn't be going on or that are going on. So how does that figure in to your plan? Or do you look at it?
You have to look at it because it's so pervasive. And again, that's why put this together, because all the things I'm talking about is always comes back to knowing who you truly are. And you can't know who you truly are if you're on drugs, prescription, not whatever it is. Imagine, I believe, that 75 or 80 or even more people are on some drug or another. Imagine the scenario. You get depressed. You get fired from your job. Someone breaks up with you. And what are you going to do? I'm depressed. You go to the doctor. The doctor immediately puts you on mind-altering, addictive drugs, just like you said. You're not going to come off those. You're addicted. Drug addicts don't come off those. So we have a whole country of drug-addicted people. And I know people who admitted to me, they sat right next to me, that they're on 4 or 5 at the same time. Who is that person? They don't know who they are. They're scrambling in the dark. That has to change. Just like I'm going to put together eventually 2 more Body Trader Academies. One is going to be a Internet Dating Rehab Academy for all these people that are hooked and addicted to dating. They go from one to another, one to another, one to another, and their pie isn't even close to being empty. There's nothing there. And they're going from one place to another, one person getting disappointed, getting rejected. That can't be. It needs to lead to the same road, and that same road back is learning about spiritual growth and development, learning about who you really are, and being willing to get off the prescription drugs, get off the shortcuts, get off this destiny, the road to destiny that's not going to lead you to where you want to go, and think about what you have to do to bring yourself back. Start with some yoga classes. Start with some meditation classes. Start by juicing, things that anyone can do, whether they're on drugs, alone, lonely, single, dating. You can start taking better care of your body and start respecting yourself more and learn what it takes to be on a path of spiritual growth and development so you, the real you, could meet the real somebody else that can lead to real kindness and gentleness and love and devotion.
You know, I think a lot of times, too, it's really important to note is that when you meet them and they're on a certain drug or a certain medication or body-altering or mind-altering, whatever that may be, that is what's keeping them stable in the position of which they are in. Now, let's say that you do hook up with this person and eventually you end up having two or three kids, you lose your job, your wife gets sick and dies. Can you imagine your choice of drug is now going to exponentially increase because you haven't come from a level playing field. You already started at the top of the mountain, and where are you going to go from there into outer space? You know, I mean, that is very important to note because that's when abuse happens. That's when murders happen. That's when a lot of people just take it to the umpteenth. And that number of people is increasing in the world today. You know, it's just not right that you take somebody that's, like I said, at the top of the mountain. So I'm sure you've had to talk some people back down, which I think is exactly what you had just said about your next retreat that you'll be doing with the internet. That is like you're going to talk them back down the mountain, because when they get back down the mountain, then they get to see the people that they're among, you know, instead of getting way up high thinking that they're the king and they're going to rule. And that's not really what, you know, is going to get them what they're looking for.
They're all frantic right now. They're all addicted. So they're going from one thing to another, just like a drug addict, just like the old heroin drug addict that we see on TV. Oh, they go one person to another, one fix to another. When you're addicted, what does that mean when you're addicted? It means that you're running on empty. Your heart, your soul, you're not there for yourself. So you're looking for anything outside of yourself to fill you. It's never going to work. Again, the Body Traders Academy is going to be a place where people will get actual tools about learning who they are, how they are, what their true needs are. These drugs, all they do is numb us. They don't deal with the problem, the original nature of the problem. They just cover up the problem. And you know what happens? When you meet up with someone who's really anxious and nervous and fearful, why is that? Because they're taking drugs to cut off the connection between what the original problem is and what they're feeling. So there's a part of them that's still feeling that anxiety. They just don't know. They're so neurotic about it because they don't even know where it's coming from. And when you meet really anxious people, you have to say to yourself, that must come from their addiction, whatever their addiction is, because when you're addicted and the things that you put into your body make you fearful, make you anxiety-ridden, it doesn't really help. It doesn't help with the problem. It only covers the problem. And that's why there are so many drug-addicted places now, and that's what they teach. It's not about drugging yourself into getting better. That's impossible. It's just impossible.
And, you know, Bruce, it's just a long, long passageway. I mean, I think that it brings you through decades of your life. And when people have to turn around and look at their life and they say, you mean you want me to change? You mean you want me to be able to do something different than I've been doing? That really makes a lot of people fearful because now, actually, their inner core is exposed. So I'm sure probably you've worked with people where they were kind of had to come down and experience a lot of the emotions and a lot of their fears and face them because you can't keep running from them. I mean, I always have this saying, I say, God is not going to sign for your UPS packages. You're not bringing your crap with you. You know, you've got to figure it out. The clock is ticking louder than ever and for people to listen because you really need to find out, you know, what a human being is, what a core, you know, core person you are and how to just be able to respect that. I think that's where we're all headed.
For many years, I got involved with a 12-step program, and not for alcohol and drug addiction, but for money issues. And I'm still dealing with, you know, money issues. So I went to a lot of 12-step programs, and I would go visit all the other ones to see what they were all about. And what I found out about Alcoholics Anonymous is that you started drinking when you were 12, and here you were 32 or 42. Guess where your mentality stayed? The day you started drinking is the day you left your mental and spiritual growth behind. So if you're 42 years old and you started drinking when you were 12, you have the makeup of a 12-year-old. And then you start from there. If you stay sober for a year or two, you're 13. You then have the mentality of a 14-year-old. And you have to build upon that. And that's what they're dealing with. And the other thing you brought up, which was really fantastic, is that when I want to take a little step further, you started talking about people who are, you know, 50 or 60 and looking back on their life. Let's take that another 20 years. I want, the way I help people is I say to them, put yourself on your deathbed. Put yourself as an 80-year-old, a knowing 80-year-old, and look back at your life. What, wouldn't you do things differently? Wouldn't you try a little bit different things rather than getting hooked on drugs? Wouldn't you look back in your life and say, wow, what a waste that was. If I had the time to do it over again, I would do it over again. So that's what I do. I place people on their deathbed. I place people in their 80s, and I ask them to turn around, and I ask them to look at their life. What would you do differently? And then from that moment on, take those things that you want to do differently, you said you wanted to do differently on your deathbed, and start doing them now. Don't wait anymore.
And, you know, I work with a lot of end-of-life people, and what I've found is that I'm racing time. And time ticks so loudly then. And the only question I ask them is really, you know, this is your time. What is it you want, period? What is your one thing that you want to have said about you? What is the one thing you want to say about yourself? And it's so difficult for them to even come to that space or to make amends. They feel like they're running, you know. You know that whole idea, you better give me 6 months to be able to know I'm going to die so I can hurry up and get all this stuff done that I didn't do in my whole life, you know. And like, really? You know, that's not how it works. And then some people will get to that point and they'll say, you know what, all that stuff didn't matter at all. There's only one thing I want to do, and that's just, I just want to say I love you to the person sitting next to me. I don't care about all that other stuff. I don't care about my cousins who haven't come around for three decades or my brother who hasn't shown up, you know, forever in a million years or, you know, my parents who might be, hey, they're just out to lunch anyway or whatever those things might be. You know, you're really just looking at that one moment and you're saying, you know, what is the one thing that's important and really what is it? So really, if you're running through your whole life looking for something, that one thing is just to find somebody to love and you love back, why are we wasting so many decades in between?
You know, I go back to a memory that I had when I was around 19 years old, and it was one of the nicest memories I ever had. My girlfriend at the time, who I was very in love with. She was my first love. She was at a sleepaway camp up in someplace up in New York State. And I was living in Boston at the time. And I drove all the way from Boston to upstate New York to see her. And I found my way to the camp, and I found someone, and I asked him to go get my this girl. And when she saw me, she was on top of a hill. And when she saw me, she ran as fast as she could, like one of those old TV commercials that you don't see anymore, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Ran as fast as she could to get into my arms, to love me, and to show me how much she missed me, and gave me a chance to show her how much I loved her and missed her. It was one of the great moments of my life that someone felt so good about me and that who allowed me to feel so good about them. I want to bring up two more shows.
Go ahead.
That have changed my life. One of them is The Undercover Boss.
Mm-hmm.
Undercover Boss is about a guy who's a CEO, and he goes undercover. I'm sure a lot of people have seen it by now. And knows what happens to this man or woman who goes undercover, because they're forced to deal with the lower levels of employees who make or break a company. And they lived with them and worked with them and got to know them and got to know them. And when they were done with their undercover boss, they felt so differently about people. All they wanted to do was help them. All they wanted to do was be kind to them. And it's exactly what they did at the end of the show. They changed the lives of five or six people. And who did that make them? Who made? Of course, the people receiving all those wonderful things felt great. But the cameras were always on that CEO, giving unconditionally.
Yes.
And what was that CEO doing? Smiling. He never felt so good in his whole life. And that's what I want people to get back to. Things that really make you happy. Being kind, being generous, helping somebody else. That's so lost now, and that's why so many people are unhappy. Because they're seeing the world just for themselves. What can I do for myself? Forget about everybody else, and that's not going to make it. It's not going to help us in the future.
And it's just not going to get where you want to be, because that end game is exactly just defined wrong words. You've defined it the wrong way. So your end game that you really want is just to be cared for and to be cared about and to care for others, and how hard that is for some people to even get if they've never actually had that experience. So, Bruce, you know, could you tell us a little bit more about your website and your what you have coming up? We just breezed through this hour really quickly.
We sure did. And I knew we would, because I knew we'd have a lot of wonderful things to talk about. And I hope your listeners will, you know, they have to be willing to say to themselves, I'm not really happy where I'm at. And maybe this Body Traders Academy is a place that, and it's a webinar. It's, people can take this from their own home. It's going to start in April. And it's going to be 20 classes that will unlock the mysteries to why so many people are not in love and how to heal relationships and then how to build upon a new, realistic, and beneficial foundation that will lead to love no matter what age you're at. People no longer want to be unhappy and alone. If they're ready to undo bad habits, I can do this for them. Eventually, I'll be doing the Body Traders Academy live in different cities around the country. I'm looking for people who this information really chimes in with. And I want you to contact me. I want you to go to my website, bodytraders.com. Email me at info@bodytraders.com. Let me know you were listening. Let me know that you want to help me get the word out to people everywhere in the world, and that you're willing to join the Body Traders Academy team and help people. I've dedicated the rest of my life, no matter what, to helping people find love. Because you know why? I think the world depends on it. because I'm seeing what's happening in the world now with the most catastrophic volcanoes and hurricanes that are going through major cities, tsunamis destroying entire countries and countryside, and tornadoes. They're not going through, you know, countrysides anymore. They're going through main cities and hurting people. And these incredible hurricanes that you had in New Orleans, destroying people's lives. Where does that horrible energy come from? I'll tell you where I think it's coming from. When you and I were growing up, Dr. Jeanette, if a million people were unhappy in love, putting out bad vibes, that was a lot. Now I think there's 100 million, half a billion people putting out bad vibes and bad energy. And where does that energy go? It has to go somewhere. So it's going into our system. It's going into our nature. Our world depends on each and every one of us finding a place in our heart to love again, and I want to help. So if you want to contact me, I want to work with you.
You know, it's really great, Bruce, because what you said is totally true. I mean, that is the movement of the awareness and the consciousness now that people are trying to get people to understand and just be safe and secure with themselves and just be able to bring forth love in the world. So I'd like to thank you so much for being with us today. It was a great show.
I really appreciate you inviting me, and I had a great time, and I look forward to us connecting again.
Great. Thank you so much. You never know. We might see us on the road, right?
I hope so.
Great. Thank you. So to all the listeners, if you'd like more information about Bruce, his link is on today's show page description. Also, the book that's called Body Traders, Transforming Back from Player to Lover. And that's very important because we're really all just playing a game if we really haven't found the end game, which is really just to love another person. So I'd like to thank everyone for being with us today. It's been a pleasure. And until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a great day. Thank you.